Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Shine Radio's Growing Together is sponsored by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future.
Welcome to Growing Together, the gardening podcast from Petersfield Shine Radio. I'm Steve Amos, and I'll be honest with you, I'm still buzzing from my visit to RHS Chelsea Flower Show. The shirt was a massive hit, and a big thanks again to Hector's. And in this episode, I'll be talking to the team from the National Autistic Society Garden. Radio superstar Nick Grimshaw, Nick Langdon about delphiniums, Matt Soper from Hampshire Carnivorous Plants, and Nellie Hall from Alitex. I do hope you enjoy.
Growing Together.
So I'm joined on Main Avenue on, I think, the biggest plot by Sophie Parminter. Good morning, I think, still Sophie?
Is it still morning? It feels like I've been here for many hours.
I can imagine. Talk to me about this garden. What's it called? What's it all about?
It is the National Autistic Society Garden, and it's all about autistic masking. It's the process by which some autistic people might hide or suppress their autistic characteristics, or they might mimic characteristics of neurotypical behaviour in order to better fit in. It has a cost to it though, and we're trying to talk about this very nuanced subject in the garden.
Garden is absolutely stunning, dominated by these, what look at first glance by breeze blocks, but it's actually cork, isn't it?
It's expanded cork, so it's not the cork most people will know, which is bound with a polyurethane glue. It's not really very environmentally friendly.
No.
But this cork is special. This cork is expanded cork. It's bound with the plant's own resin. So suberin, the resin of the Quercus suber, the cork oak tree. Yes, when it's cooked in pressure cookers, that suberin melts, and as it cools, it binds the granules together into these huge, tactile, dented blocks, actually. Have you had a sniff?
I have. They smell amazing.
They smell incredible,
they? I mean, the garden is, as you would expect from what you've just been saying, it looks a very, very calming place, albeit somewhat chaotic, if you don't mind me saying so.
That's actually a really interesting observation, because the outer garden is a space full of these bold drifts of colour. I mean, that's obviously a forward-facing, masked space.
Yep.
It's Hello Chelsea, Main Avenue. That makes sense. But behind the masks, as it were, that inner space, it is calming, you're right, but there's a lot of different species in there, a lot of different greens, a lot of interesting foliage, and that busyness is something that perhaps people don't realise is going on in the mind behind the mask.
Yeah, as I said to you just before we started recording, my girlfriend's son is autistic and is the master of masking, and you know, when he comes back from somewhere where he calls what it's called, he goes peopling for the day, be normal all day, and he gets back to the sanctuary of his own home and let's go.
Yes, I think people don't necessarily understand the cost of that. To a degree, everyone masks. We understand that process, don't we? We present a different face to work colleagues than we will do with friends or family. But with autism, there's a higher neurological toll to that. The neural load on the brain is greater. And if you look into the inner garden, you'll see these tumbled piles of stones that we have borrowed for the week. They've come on holiday to Chelsea.
Where did they come from?
They came from a site in Windsor that Dido, my co-designer, the firm of architects, is working on.
Brilliant.
They're building a new house from the old stones.
Gotcha.
But those are really, they're meant to be echoes of past walls, like the idea that an autistic person in an overwhelming situation might have a meltdown or shutdown.
The water and then the softness of the planting as well in that inner garden is a very peaceful place, isn't it?
It's incredibly peaceful. I think largely in part to the huge quantity of moss we have planted everywhere.
There's a lot of moss here, isn't it?
I do like moss.
I bet you're praying for a bit of rain, actually, aren't you?
We are the only garden, I think, that is delighted every time the rain clouds come over. It saves us watering.
It's your first time here at Chelsea, straight into Main Avenue. How was the build experience for you?
It was a really fun experience, actually. Largely in part to the team we've had working on the garden. There are, you know, Dido and I sit here and chat about it, but there are hundreds of people who have contributed to or built this garden in many different ways. And we have had the best team. We have had so much fun on site. There's always been giggling coming from this corner of the showground.
That's brilliant. I always look at these show gardens, you know, and this is my first time at Chelsea, but you see them on television and I think, my goodness, you know, how much effort has gone into that? It's a shame it's just going to be dismantled.
It seems crackers, doesn't it?
But yours is going somewhere special, isn't it?
Ours is going to several special places. Going to the National Autistic Society's supported living site at Catrin Bank in Ayrshire, where it will be enjoyed by residents, staff members, families who come to visit, and in fact the general public who will be able to come along as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Would you do it again? That's the $1 million question, I suppose, isn't it?
Ask me at the end of the week.
Yeah, this is day one of all these interviews and chats, isn't it?
I know. I think this might be more exhausting than the build.
Well, I absolutely love it. I can't wait to have a proper look around, okay with you.
Yes, and I'll give you the tour.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you. I wish you the very, very best of luck for tomorrow morning, because it is an amazing garden.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So I'm still on the National Autistic Society garden and joined by Matt, one of the design team here. Good afternoon now, Matt.
Good afternoon.
How's your day going?
Interesting.
Yeah? Enjoyable, interesting?
Well, you know, a lot of press, media. It's always a mixed experience, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No offence.
Hopefully I'm one of the good guys.
Let's find out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I had a lovely chat with Sophie just now.
Yeah.
And what have you been responsible for in this garden, Matt?
We have a bit of a joke in our house that we have a very traditional gender split in terms of responsibilities in the house. So Dido, my other half, who's the designer with Sophie on this garden. She deals with everything that grows and gets more beautiful over time and flourishes and is a lovely gardening experience. And I just deal, like quite a lot of men in the household still, I deal with gutters and all the dead things.
The grr stuff.
The maintenance, yeah. So
Blue jobs.
So it's the same here, the blue jobs. So it's the same here. I've done sort of everything that's dead in this garden. Is
your responsibility.
Yeah. Everything that slowly degrades and needs maintaining, it's my responsibility. So the cork and timber structure is obviously the main thing, as well as the boardwalk. I'm quite interested in the boardwalk. But just obviously the feature material, if you like, is obviously the cork.
The cork is fantastic. And, you know, I was talking to Sophie earlier, and it smells. It smells amazing as well, doesn't it?
It's a really rich sensory material. What's interesting is people always, they always form quite a strong connection with it. And it's got a real emotive content to it. It's a funny material like it, because as you say, it smells, it's soft to the touch, it has quite a gentle acoustic, it looks lovely. It's an amazing material, yeah.
It's really beautiful, and I love the garden. And where we sat now, we had to do a little bit of rock climbing to get here, Matt, but it's just such a peaceful place to be.
The atmosphere of the garden, this was really in the primary design meetings I set up, you know, with this very strong idea of an outer garden that's around the idea of an edited self to do with autism, and then the inner garden. And so it's funny because it's supposed to be, it is peaceful in its atmosphere, isn't it? But it's also supposed to be a place in which one can be relaxed enough maybe to not be peaceful as well.
Just to be yourself.
Yes, yes. And maybe that's just letting go and shouting and screaming a lot.
Yeah, and you know what?
Speaking from experience.
And I think sort of the tumbled bits of brickwork and stuff like that right in the middle there, I think it's obviously organised, but it's a little bit chaotic, isn't it? And I think, you know, having first-hand experience of living with an autistic boy, that's what their life is like sometimes. It's what their mind is like, isn't it?
That was really interesting when you did that earlier, because actually it's absolutely exactly what's supposed to be happening in the garden in terms of representation. I mean, obviously, There is that whole representational idea here, but also as an architect, we're interested in those atmospheres and the creating very tailored environments for autistic people to inhabit and feel comfortable in. So, and what, one thing I've learned really about autism since working with Sophie in this garden is that it's a very complex, varied condition, and there is no single idea of what an autistic person likes or doesn't like. So, you know, some people get overstimulated, some people are understimulated. They like different colours, different textures, different acoustic environments. So we've tried to make a garden which caters for lots of different kinds of preferences. It's made it rather complex, possibly.
maybe, but
interesting,
I think,
yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because there's lots of different spaces in the garden here, which, you know, we're sat up here, you know, fairly elevated, looking out over the main part of the garden. And then there's, you know, these little cubicles or areas where there's, you know, up there there's a beautiful little seat that's in the sunshine at the moment. We're in the dappled shade at the moment. And then there's the spot down there to our left where the metal structure is, which is, it's all fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's great that you're picking up on all that so clearly and directly. That's exactly where it was coming from. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time. I know you're extremely busy. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you
and you.
Sitting up here as well. Thank you.
Great. Likewise. Thanks.
So in one of the quiet corners of the National Autistic Society garden, I found a lovely gentleman called Rob, who's a sculptor. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon. Hello.
So we stood in front of this sculpture. It's fascinating. What is it?
It is a rolling ball machine, a rolling ball sculpture or kinetic sculpture.
It's fascinating. What is the inspiration behind it?
Okay, well, it shows the complexity of the autistic mind. It's something that I do. It is my job. I make these machines.
Okay.
They are essentially marble runs on steroids. that's what they are.
What a great description. And that's exactly what it looks like. It really does look like a marble run on steroids.
So this one is hand-powered. So there's a handle, a crank that you turn,
yep,
which powers an auger, sort of like an Archimedes screw, which is at the back there, as you can see,
which has got
three different feeds.
Okay.
And those feeds output at the top into a single track, which then doubles up into another track with these tippers here on there.
Yes.
So that's a total of six tracks, and then they converge again at the bottom, and then away you go. That's the cycle complete.
Almost looks like planetary as well. You've got this big orb in the middle. What's the orb meant to represent?
Originally, when I built it, it wasn't for the Chas Flasher.
Okay.
Okay. And it's called the Infinitram, and it was sort of celebrating the complexity of, you know, as I said earlier, the sort of the autistic human brain, the mind. At the time, I was thinking more planetary.
Okay. And I've picked up well there, haven't I?
You have. You have picked up very well. And, I suppose I was thinking, how can I sort of have something that looks visually alluring, that is very... What's three-dimensional? As you look round to the left and right, above and below, there's something about a globe, about a sphere. I don't know. I think it's really... It really gives a sense of that sort of 3D aspect of it all.
It certainly does. And,
But it so turned out that this sort of fitted the brief rather well.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's kind of switched narrative from the inner space and outer space inspiration to what's happening within the human brain, because it's all thing molecules, you know, and atoms and synapses and things firing all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's equally as complex as the solar system.
It probably won't make good radio, this next piece, but let's give it a go.
Actually, the sound of this.
Okay, so we're cranking the handle.
That I particularly like.
Here we go. Oh wow, there's balls going in all directions. Oh my word. This is absolutely fascinating.
Brilliant.
And we're joined now by Dido, the architect of the garden. This is amazing.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. I love this sculpture. The sort of the complexity of it and the constant whirring motion. I mean, I think it's a really nice place to sit and this be the focus.
No, it's really cool. And it, as you say, it's just a slightly different place to the rest of it. That it's bright, it's shiny.
Yes.
But the rest is quite pared down.
So we're catering for a spectrum condition with lots of different needs, and some people want stimulation, and this one certainly gives it.
Absolutely.
And bright colour planting palette, the Camassias behind it is another, you know, so we're trying to cater for lots of different...
Yeah, Matt and I were sat up in the on the bench at the top there, which again is another really different place, isn't it?
Yeah, well, did you get the smoky room of the cork up
there?
Yeah, it's
beautiful,
and the soft
isn't it?
Acoustic of the cork. I mean, yes, that's when you want to try and quieten things, and when you get... So some of the seats close to the cork walls, I think it gives a really, really nice, muted,
soft
acoustic.
So how did the collaboration between the four of you come about?
Well, Sophie originally sought Matthew and myself out because of Cork House in Eton. We built a house out of solid cork.
Yeah, yeah.
And she thought that cork might be a interesting material to use to represent autistic masking, because it has a protective layer. Bark is protective, but also it's very attractive outer surface. And masking is about sort of presenting a certain side of yourself to society.
Yes.
So we just got talking about using cork, and we thought, we've got, you know, Chelsea's on for 1 week, so you've got to design a kit of parts that's easy to assemble and disassemble.
I heard Matt talking to somebody else calling it giant Lego.
It is, giant plant-based Lego.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing but Subarin in this in these blocks bonding the cork together.
That's amazing. It really is. And what about the collaboration with Rob?
Well, Sophie Parmenter, my collaborator, introduced Rob Moore to me, and I don't know how you two found each other. How did you and Sophie...
She found me.
Right.
She found me on Instagram, and at the time I was heavily involved in constructing a human brain version of this, which is still under construction.
Is it? I can imagine they take some time.
Yes, I mean, this took 2 years, and the brain is sort of 2 or 3 years in, and it's still got some way to go yet. So that's obviously very complex. So she found me and contacted me, would I be interested?
And have you been to Chelsea before?
Never.
No. And what about yourself, Dido?
Well, I've been visitor, but not designing.
Well, I'm an absolute virgin as well.
Okay.
For Chelsea, you know, never been before, and I'm absolutely blown away by it. It's just an amazing.
It's amazing
place to
think this was just a flat playing field 3 weeks ago. And you know, with our garden, we had a lot of moving earth movement, a lot of rock movement to create this sort of level and to choreograph this sort of path into the dell. So
how many hours a day?
12, 13
was
for
it
3 weeks.
Really? For 3 weeks?
Yeah. Weekends are meaningless. They have been for quite a while.
And then the final week, you have to talk to annoying people like me all day.
You have to pass the message on, which is, yeah, it's really nice though, to disseminate it. You know, it's only here for a week, got to make the most of it. Got to try and speak to as many people as you can about it.
And personally, you know, with my connection with my girlfriend's son and the autism, it's my favourite garden by far, I have to say, because it's just got so many parts to it. And it just, I think, you know, I did read the blurb about it, but sitting in the garden, it's just amazing.
That's the feedback that's really interesting, because I think even like this seat, I don't know if anyone's, but the fact that you can sit facing this way and someone else facing this way, so you can have like quite a close conversation but not with eye contact, I think that's really interesting. And I think there's quite a few spaces in the garden where you can do this.
And you're absolutely right, and as I said, there's so many different places within the garden. I just think it's a fascinating place to be.
Thank you. Well, I hope everyone finds their little nook where they like to hang out here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're super busy. The very, very best of luck,
all of
you, for the awards tomorrow morning. So I've not managed to escape from the National Autistic Society garden yet, but I'm joined here by someone who's just said they don't have a clue about gardening. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Nick Grimshaw, who does not likes them, but not an expert. Just to clarify, not an expert.
Well, you and me both, Nick. Keen amateur, I cast myself.
Yeah, keen amateur.
Do you have a garden at home?
Yeah, I do have a garden, and I love it, but I do get someone to come and do it, a guy called Jamie, who's here today, actually.
Oh, is he?
And, you know, I've done it, and it wasn't good, so I was like, let me get Jamie, because I want to be in the garden.
Do you know what? It's a false economy sometimes, isn't it, doing things yourself?
Yes.
When you can get a professional in, and they do such a much better job, and it's a much better use of your time.
They last when Jamie plants them, because he's picked the right plants, yeah.
So, how long have you been here, Nick?
I've been here for about an hour and a half.
Yeah? What's your favourite bit so far?
I mean, I love this garden. I love the water feature in the National Autistic Garden now, and I've just seen the water dripping down the chain. I love the smell.
The smell of the cork.
Oh,
Isn't it fantastic?
That smell.
Isn't
yeah.
it brilliant?
So I like that it feels really sensory in here.
Yes.
And you've got sound and, you know, smell and obviously, you know, the beautiful flowers as vision. So,
yes.
Yeah, and you can feel it's very textured.
It's glorious. Have you been down right into the bottom?
Oh, I've not
down
been.
Into the dell?
No, someone was filming in that, so I dared not go in. But I'm going to do another lap and hope I can
go and do another lap. It is stunning. And I think, as you're right, really sensory and so it's peaceful.
Really peaceful.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. It's the quietest I've ever been.
Nick, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy
thank
the rest
you so
of your
much.
Day.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm back in the main pavilion in front of the Blackmore and Langdon's display, which is all about delphiniums and begonias. And I'm joined by one of the directors, Nick Langdon. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, relieved, I think, is probably the word of the hour at the moment.
And we're joined, actually, in the background, you can probably hear, by an African music group.
Oh,
it's quite nice, isn't it?
It's lovely. The Monday here is amazing. Yeah,
a little more chilled than the rest of the week.
Much more. Yeah, we came up on Friday, and it's rather stressful putting everything together. But you get to this stage, and it's a real relief. So it's I'm pleased with what we've got.
Yeah. So I was talking to one of your fellow exhibitors earlier, Darren Everest, about sweet peas. You guys have also cheated nature.
We do. We try and cheat nature, but it certainly catches you out occasionally.
I mean, these flowers are spectacular.
They are. And looking at the nursery a fortnight ago, there wasn't a flower in sight. And actually to be here now with them in full flower is I'm pleased, relieved. And, yeah, it'd be nice to get the medal out the way tomorrow morning.
Well, being a noob at Chelsea, I asked you when I sort of came and stood by your store whether you'd been before. How many years have your family been coming to Chelsea?
So we've been coming here since 1913. So we're fourth generation. We've done every single one since it started. Never missed one, obviously, apart from the war.
And COVID.
Yeah. But we're a long-standing company. Yeah, it's a lovely bit of history. We're the last, actually, that have done every single one since the start.
Okay.
So Knotcuts had, and they pulled out a few years ago. Hilliers had, They're now no longer here. So we're actually the last remaining.
Amazing. And have you always grown delphiniums and begonias?
These have always been the two, the mainstays of the company.
Okay.
We've done other things over the years, but we've always come back to the two. These are the main crops that we do.
Gotcha.
We're known for them. We know they don't go together because they're completely different.
They're very different, aren't they?
But that's kind of our trademark because everybody knows if they see begonias and delphiniums together, it's us.
It's you guys.
Yeah.
I was saying to you earlier, I've grown delphiniums for the first time this year.
Mm.
Can you give me some tips?
Full sun, lots of water, good drainage for the winter, and keep the slugs away. That's
right.
Really the main things.
Yeah, yeah.
They will flower the first year, but you'll only get a small flower. It's
okay.
Best to cut them down before they go to seed, because the plant producing seed will take a lot of the goodness out of it. So if you cut them back and then let them reflower the second year, you'll get that's when you'll get the real display.
So let them flower this year?
So you can let them flower, but okay. As soon as you see them starting to go to seed, cut them off.
Okay.
And then all the goodness will stay in the roots rather than the plant producing the seed and using up all its energy.
Brilliant.
So that's probably the best tip, really. And the second year, like I say, you'll get 8, 10, 12 spikes per plant and you'll get a hell of a display.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And what's... Yeah. I mean, you've got all sorts of colours here, Nick. What's your favourite? Is it like asking you to pick
like
your favourite child?
Exactly that. Yeah. I really like the dark blues. I really like the sort of gentian blues, but also I like the powder blues like we've got in the middle
in
there.
In the middle there, yeah. That's a really interesting. Yeah. It doesn't look like it should exist in nature.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But
bred these yourselves?
These are all our own breedings. Actually, there are a couple which have come through the Delphinium Society.
Okay.
That have been amateurs that have grown them, but there are some really good varieties out. And we've got about 65 varieties. But there are loads. These are all the Elatum variety, which are the strongest type you can grow.
Okay.
So yeah, they're lovely things.
If people want to have a look and sort of grow delphiniums, how do we get in touch?
So we've got a website which plants are available on, blackmoreandlangdon.com. We're easy to find. We're just south of Bristol. The nursery's open to the public.
Okay.
So you're more than welcome to.
I bet your fields are quite a show.
Fields are spectacular. End of June, beginning of July. There, it's a real sight.
Amazing. The very, very best of luck. It's a magnificent display. The very best of luck with the medals tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and, fingers crossed.
Well, hopefully I'll see you here again next year.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Thank you very much for your time, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
Once again, I find myself in the Great Pavilion with Matt Soper from Hampshire Carnivorous Prance. Good afternoon, Matt.
Right. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Amazing setup. Looks beautiful.
Really pleased with it.
Yes. Yeah?
When I was a youngster, I was really keen on carnivorous plants and dinosaurs. And we put them together and they're all here. And... Yeah.
Is this your first year at Chelsea?
No, it's 23rd year.
Mm. It's my first year at Chelsea. Mm. Who's this gentleman we're joined by?
This is Campon. He's my sponsor.
Hello,
He's
Campon.
He's made these fantastic dinosaurs.
Oh, they're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. From Thailand.
From Thailand?
Yeah.
They are amazing. And I think the sort of carnivorous plants, people just think of the Venus flytrap.
Yeah,
as kind of that gateway.
Yeah, that's how I started. It is a gateway plant.
Yeah. How did you get into it, Matt?
With a Venus flytrap.
Was it really?
And I like dinosaurs in books and flytraps, and I'd seen them on television, and I got a Venus flytrap, killed it, feeding it pieces of cheese, and then I kept on trying to grow them, and built up the large collection of them. Yeah.
So if, one of our listeners wanted to get into, other than the flytrap, they're not too keen on that whole sort of snapping motion, what would you recommend?
One of these, Sarracenia pitcher plants. They're very easy. Just stand them in a source of rainwater in a very, very sunny windowsill.
Yeah.
And that's all they need. So it's just rainwater, lots of sun. But believe it or not, these are actually quite hardy and you can grow them out in the garden all year round. In Hampshire.
Really?
Yep. We have a lot of them growing outside, yep.
And how many plants do you have then at your nursery?
Oh, thousands.
Is it a nursery you have?
Yeah, we've got a nursery. Yeah.
And how do people get in touch with you then? Because I think, I think these plants would appeal to so many people.
Yeah, we're Hampshire Carnivorous Plants Limited, based just outside of Winchester. We have open days throughout the year, and you can also buy the plants mail order. That's www.hansflytrap.com.
Fantastic. Yep.
And Campon, they've got a botanical gardens in Thailand, Nongnut Botanical Gardens, and that's well worth a visit if you're in Thailand.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Are there any dinosaurs?
He's got the biggest dinosaur park in the world.
We have over 1,400 dinosaurs in the garden.
That's amazing.
Made from cement, all of them. Life size.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And in the setting of these plants, it's where they should belong, isn't it?
Well, it looks like a jungle, yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. I particularly like this one here, eating some of the plants.
Yeah, he's eating the plants, and then he's come across and he's going to eat the dinosaur.
He's going to eat the dinosaur.
Yeah.
How did you choose the plants the poor dinosaur's eating?
The plants, it's just like an avatar type thing, so it's not real. But Campon chose the dinosaurs, both of these species were actually native to the UK.
Okay.
So the skeletons of these have been found here.
Yeah.
So they're British dinosaurs. Ah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. It's very different to a lot of the stuff here, isn't it? But I think really stands out, and I think it's beautiful.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, never know.
No, well, the very, very best.
Tomorrow morning.
Exactly, the very best of luck for tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
My last recording of the day, I'm with Nelly from Alitex. Hey, Nelly.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm all right. You look fried.
It's been a long couple of weeks, actually. I know the show hasn't begun, but it has been... Yeah, I do chuck everything in to Chelsea because we want to create something really magical for people to come and experience. So,
well, you're here on Main Avenue, and I have to say, well, 3 weeks ago, nothing was here.
No, just grass. Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I love the effort that people go to, and it shows what's really possible in quite a short window.
Mm.
You know, we assume that... And I know that Chelsea planting's not real, but I think increasingly you're seeing more real planting and more drought tolerance, or people talking about different messages that are impacting our gardening. But I think it's really lovely to show people just ideas and inspiration, and that's kind of what we try and do when we put our stand together.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive. I'm very fortunate, you know, in my capacity as a roving reporter for the Growing Together podcast, I've been into some of the show gardens and sat in amongst the planting and what have you, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And as you say, real.
Yeah,
a lot of it is really real. I mean, some of the stuff in the pavilion has cheated nature.
I know. I mean, tulips in May, and you know, it's.
But that in itself is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I've never been to Chelsea before, so this is my first.
No.
Oh, this is my first time. So I was like a kid in a sweat. I woke up early this morning. I'm like,
nice.
Really excited, and you know, it has absolutely lived up to my expectations.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a cracking day for it as well. You
it's
really
beautiful,
have.
Isn't it?
And everyone relaxes, and they can really saunter and take it all in and enjoy it. And because ordinarily it's a bit chilly, it's a bit of a breeze, a bit of rain, and people scurry and they don't look and enjoy in the same way. So there's been just lots of meandering, and that's the way to enjoy gardens, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, slowly, and then you see more details when you do it slowly.
So what's the inspiration behind your garden here this year?
It's really showing people why you'd have a greenhouse. It's home produce, herbs, showing everything literally from sowing seeds in a propagator through to potting on into a cold frame and then out into the garden. And it's been lovely working with the pig, Ollie and his team. We've been involved with the pig since their very first pig at Brockenhurst, and we have had greenhouses in every pig that hasn't inherited some timber greenhouses.
Okay.
Has an Alitex, which is lovely. So it's a really...
Because they've
natural.
Got a very strong ethos of sort of field to plate, haven't they?
Absolutely, you know, and this is all stuff that Ollie's grown. They have a nursery which supports the gardens and an incredibly strong gardening team. And three of them came all, Ollie, Alex from Brockenhurst and Fran from the pig at Bridge Place, which is in Kent.
Right.
And they were all here planting up, and they're just lovely. You know, they're as...
It's but been then a good collaboration.
It really has, yeah. And we've done a few things in the past, and I think, you know, we'll continue to do so because it just works. It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you brought two greenhouses with you this year. I mean, the one we stood in front of is absolutely magnificent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. This is going to a client in 2 weeks' time, and she's coming to the show on Wednesday to see her greenhouse, and she's very excited. But more exciting, Steve, is that one over there is coming home with me after the show.
Is that your
first
greenhouse?
First Alitex greenhouse, absolutely.
Is it a bit like, you know, the old adage with a builder? You know, their house is a state because they've
and
not
gardeners' houses are a mess.
Yeah, and their garden is terrible.
Yeah.
And your
and
greenhouse...
And we had an appalling greenhouse, which was shameful.
But that one there is going to be yours.
That is our greenhouse. The base is built.
Is it?
I'm poised, ready, yeah. Can't wait. I'm going to go and lay some paving on Thursday on my day off and get it all ready.
Paving on your day off. Nelly, you don't stop, do you?
No, it's great. It's a buzz. It's lovely. Chelsea's a one-off. I think it's the best flower show in the world. I think the fact that as the week goes on, you'll see that there are people from all over the world, literally, come because there's nothing really compares to it.
No, well, I've been blown away by the people here today, and I've been told it's nothing compared to the rest of the week.
Oh, crikey. So tomorrow it's full and busy. And when it's a nice day, quite rightly, you know, everyone uses their tickets and makes a whole day of it. But, you know, why not? And, I mean, if I'm briefly honest, you do see the gardens better on TV coverage because you can't actually get in. And I think one thing I'd say about the gardens is it's really helpful to understand the story.
Yes.
because you often look at it and go, oh, right, there's a whole load of plants and there's paving and there's bits of sculpture or whatever. But if you don't understand the meaning and the story, that's what really pulls it together. And when they're judged on the brief they gave right at the beginning.
Okay.
So if they give a brief and they don't quite fulfil the brief, they can do badly, even though we'd walk past and go, wow, my God, it's a beautiful garden.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think people totally get that. And I think, you know, there are often decisions that people don't understand and we go, oh, it's outrageous. But, you know, probably it's as simple as they said they'd build X and they built X and a half.
Yes.
And, you know, that's...
Do you get judged?
Yeah, we do. We get judged. So trade stands get a star certificate.
Okay.
From 3 to 5 stars.
Yes.
5 stars is the best. And then you can get the best in show, which we did last year, which was wonderful.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
You know, that's a really exciting thing. Last year as well, we grew everything ourselves from seed. And yeah, it was
Claire was talking to you, wasn't she, about your growing journey for Chelsea.
Yeah. And it was amazing. It was just such a satisfying, literally everyone helped with planting, with growing. It was just wonderful. I can't, you know, it's just absolutely wonderful experience. Yeah.
How many years have you been coming to Chelsea?
63.
63 years?
Yeah, this is 63.
You don't look old enough, Nelly.
Thanks. Sometimes you feel it. But
yeah, I can imagine.
I've done probably not far off 20 now.
Wow. That's amazing. I have to say, it's really beautiful. Super eye-catching. And there's
not
much veg here this year.
No, that's true, actually. There's not. You're right. So it's nice.
I did bump into gardening royalty earlier today. Medwin Williams. 13 times gold medal winner.
Oh, okay.
He used to do a magnificent veg display here. Lives on up on Anglesey near my dad.
Oh, nice.
And I had a brief chat with him, and I was hoping to catch him to have a proper chat with him like this.
And you missed
but he's disappeared off the face of the earth. But never mind. Nelly, thank you so much for your time.
Absolute pleasure.
Take care.
Cheers, Steve.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did recording. And a massive thanks to Sophie, Dido and Rob, the garden design team at the National Autistic Society. Obviously, radio superstar, my new best mate, by the way, Nick Grimshaw. Nick Langdon, about delphiniums. Matt Soper, local, over in Winchester, Hampshire carnivorous plant. And of course, Nelly Hall from Alitex. Just a quick roundup, actually. I'm delighted to report that Darren Everest, that we spoke to in the last episode about the sweet peas, got a gold. Anne-Marie Powell won a silver gilt, but she also won the Children's Award and the People's Choice Award for an amazing garden. And the ladies at She Grows Veg, they also won gold. Matt Soper from Hampshire Carnivorous Plants, also
Hampshire
won
autistic
gold. And the Alitex team won the highest trade award.
Hampshire
Carnivorous Plants. I had a fantastic time, and I can't wait to go back there next year. Again, I hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks for listening. And join us again soon. Happy gardening.
Growing Together is new twice a month and supported by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future. Get the latest editions of Growing Together at any time at shineradio.uk. This is Shine Radio. Made in Petersfield by
Gareth,
Claire,
Geoff,
Beth,
and you.
To join us, email team@shineradio.uk or call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500.
Join our team and make it shine at the radio station made by you.
You make it shine.